Right, so I'm Una Lee. I guess I'm a sound artist now. I would say I'm a sound artist. I think some people wouldn't. I also compose. I don't know. Yeah, I'm a quite a bit of a composer because I'm a bit of a control freak in that way, the work way. But so I've attended a conservatory in Germany. So I went to this like Hochschule für Musik, the music school, and yeah, I did that. I was quite young when I started. I started at 17, I think, and then I did the higher education. It's like 5 years there. Yeah, so I did that, and I went back to Korea, which I was born in, and I s spent some years, partly really for personal reasons, because I left my family so when I was so young, so I thought, I just wanted to rediscover them and have new kind of relationship, and so I did some very kind of just small arranging kind of composing jobs, but more like a utilitarian music, like a bit like film music or things like that, for like music for theater and so on, which I know can also be not art form, but so for me anyway, then it was like a job thing. And yeah, some years, and I wanted to sort of then I realized I have this other voice, kind of artistic voice, that I always kind of knew there was something else for me other than the one I was occupying myself with, which is basically kind of Western classical music, basically. And so yeah, and I kind of just had the luck, enough luck to be able to explore that, and so I came to Belfast to Sonic Arts Research Centre to pursue postgrad degrees, and I did my master's and PhD, and then yeah, some years later, I mean, I was again fortunate enough to have like grants and awards and stuff, so that I felt like, oh, I can, I will keep doing this for a while. So obviously it's, I don't, I'm not crap at it. So I just, yeah, so that's where I am really at.
Where are you
From
from?
Korea. I'm from Korea, South Korea.
South Korea. Well, which is
Oh, where? Daegu.
why did you want to go to Germany, and what was your inspiration?
At the time, it was really my parents recommending it, not like forcing me, but recommending it, because what do I know, how would I know like where to go anywhere else? It wasn't like in Europe where where you had a lot of exchanges between all these countries for decades and centuries. South Korea, in some ways, was still quite isolated at the time, geographically, firstly, obviously, but then also culturally. I mean, because the Korea, the the like gate of what's what like trade basically. Very long story. Like in my head, I went back like 700 years, but yeah, because Korea had like different dynasties and things, policies that had changed from time to time. But yeah, so like a century ago was a little over that. So a century and a half years ago, I think it was a very closed off society, which then led to the also everything that came after it, blah blah blah. So anyway, even when I was young, South Korea was still sort of rather isolated in terms of culture. Again, not like communist isolation, but still, yeah. The point is though, yeah, I think I enjoyed making music. I was also in some ways gifted, if you want to call that. Like, as far as those classically gifted music, the kids, Wunderkinder, that sort of thing. Not that I was one really, but I had sort of like perfect pitch, and I was really quite good at picking up music and, like all of that sort of very basic musical aspects. And I think I enjoyed doing it as well. And so I think my mom just thought, that's probably. I think she wanted me to be a creative anyway. So I think she kind of recommended, and yeah, and then that's really how it came about. And I shed no tears about leaving school there, like, because I left school at 16 or 15 or whatever. So in the first year of the high school, like equivalent of high school there in Korea, I was like, yeah, I've no, yeah, I'm not, I'm so ha just happy to leave, basically. So that worked out as well.
Your parents' musical?
No, they were both actually, so they were both Korean teachers, school teachers in Korean, and my dad went on and became a professor in sort of Korean and theater, like theaterite, like playwriting, playwright,
Okay.
and Korean literature. But my mom does love music. She actually loves classical music, like orchestral music. Very different taste from mine. But she does love music. And I think, yeah, then obviously my dad had all that literary side, that part, that side of artistry and artistic tendency. But no, none of them were actually musicians. Nobody in our fa in my family.
But educated.
Not really either. I think my mom, because although they were actually f still from the generation when they had a bit more proper music education in schools, whereas these days it's probably just about an accessory, or doesn't, it's not even, not, it's basically non-existent probably. But not like higher education. I think mom did learn to play piano though when she was younger, which was one of, which was a bit of a, you know, privileged experience probably in her, at her age.
I've got a question. Why did you feel like, okay, I'm just going?
I mean, part of it is that a few things, I mean, not a few things, say two or three things. One of them certainly is because how all schools are. They just push you, force these knowledges on you, which may sometimes not even be true. All of that. And I've always been a sort of a very free thinking, original thinking child and person also, obviously, but what, you know, was always like that. So that side of school was never really comfortable for me anyway. And I knew it then also. And I'm sure my parents played a role in that because they were both teachers, or they had been teachers. So they would just kind of, they knew that that wasn't right for anybody, but also, but especially for me, sort of that kind of, you know, shoving this text into your brain kind of education. And that was definitely one side. And the other was, for me, to be honest, I think I just knew there was more. I knew there must be, if I felt like, you know, there must be more than this. And I didn't then care that, you know, I was what age I was leaving, where I was. So yeah, at the time I was just happy enough to leave, I think, because I was going to different places, and I had, you know, I lived there already 16 years. That was long enough.
So when you arrived to Germany, you're quite young, and then you went into conservator, no? Was that culturally shocking or inspiring to eventually come out of Korea?
I don't know if I was culturally shocked from the musical side. I think, for instance, the German TV shocked me more, for instance.
What?
Very different. Well, I don't know. I'm not going to go into details, but it was very different in terms of like what people did,
Okay.
as in as a TV, as a representational media of the society. I'm not talking about the actual TV programs, but what, how people behaved or talked on TV was so different from how people are in Korea. So that was more about, you know, being shocked about the general culture, I guess, than the music side of it. The music, I don't know. I don't think I had like shock or something. But I was being told things also in advance a little bit by people who've been there. So I didn't know. I didn't think. I also didn't really have like expectations of any particular expectations. So that's probably, I was just pretty open-minded, I guess. And then in terms of the ethnicity thing, so though my school, because you have this sort of artist education, and then you have the pathway for like artistic musicians and pathway for school teacher, basically, like to groom school music teachers or teach people who would teach in sort of high school level music schools. And so the artistic musicians, they were mostly not German, but they were like a lot Eastern European also, I would say, also American, but South and North, and some Asian as well. So I guess that did surprise me in a way, though, just because I was, I was young and I came to Germany and I thought, there'd be German people. But it wasn't the case, but that wasn't like, and that wasn't either negative or positive, but I remembered that feeling mostly from when I first went to school. And then you kind, and then so it was like, like a proper kind of international community. But that's the, yeah, that was the school. I mean, the rest of the city wasn't really like that, but again, and then also I think again, still then I somehow thought I will be doing something else as well when I'm older. So you need to feel a sort of sense of belonging, proper belonging, in order to feel dislocated, I think. But I think I never really, really, really did that there. I'll be, I don't know, doing something else related, but not like what everybody else was doing there, which is like, I want to become a the concert violinist or whatever. That was, this is, I, that was never my aspiration in either like, composing or performing. I was either oblivious to it or ignorant, but probably not. Yeah, this probably wasn't a bad thing because I was just like floating about there rather than being shocked or being, affected negatively or something. But so that was in the school. I mean, then, and then when you're out, then you do notice more that you're like, yeah, you don't see yourself, but other people do see you. And they might have different opinions about you and things like that. But so in terms of within the school, it was never really, I didn't think, I'd never really had anything really that stood out in sort of, I didn't really have particular feelings either about that topic, I think.
Yeah, maybe you see a lot of things objectively and then you're quite good at it.
Probably.
Yeah. Which city were you in Germany?
Cologne, Köln.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you end up wanting to go to Korea? It's that sounded like what it was at the end of it.
Yeah, I did. I did. I thought about going to another country or somewhere else. But in my head, I was like, I wanted to go home first. And I stayed there a bit longer than I first envisioned. Because I think I was there, and then I ended up staying for 6 7 years, 6 years, something like that, 7 years. But yeah, I did want to kind of go back to Korea, and I also felt the place had changed while I wasn't there, which it did. Yeah.
There was a bit of radical change in the Korean culture, right?
Yeah, I mean, I reckon that it's been always like that fast, that radical, but because I was there, I was part of it, or say I was too young to notice it. But then I was then, away from 16 to 23, I think. It's kind of a, it's like the older, young adult time. And that was like 20 2000 to 2005, somewhere around there. So yes, well, like the World Cup happened while I was in Germany, for instance, the Korea World, the World Cup in Korea and Japan, so etc. So things had changed. So just wanted to, I guess, be there.
Yeah, I don't remember when it was, but my dad said, suddenly no one knew about Korea, and then now I am from Korea, and then people think I'm quite cool,
Yeah.
before that, it was just about like Korea. They've got still war going on or some kind of
Yeah.
a very like suspicious sort of sense of look.
Right.
When K-pop and K-drama suddenly became like, wow, and then everyone knows about Korea as
Yeah.
pop culture, and suddenly like Korean people are quite good looking, and then everyone wants, I mean, in Japan especially,
yeah.
to marry Korean men. And it was just really strange. I wonder if
Yeah.
you noticed that as well, being Korean, like, because I was brought up
Yeah.
with in Japan,
Yeah.
Japanese. So
Yeah.
did you feel that change in the world that time? How people look at the Korean country?
I don't know. I don't know, but personally, because I don't know really I don't know if so but also I was so I think that change happened. I think the biggest change, the most intensely quick change, or say the explosion, basically, I'm gonna say, happened, I think, towards the end of my time in Germany and or my time in Korea, actually. So I wouldn't have noticed that sort of change. And I will also say, I don't know about Germany. Like, I don't know how well known Korean culture is in Germany still, because I have no idea. You know, people have different interests, different cultures have different interests, so I'm not sure. But it's certainly different here. In the UK, it's definitely different. And again, I don't know if how people look at me has changed, but also I've changed anyway. So I can't really compare that. But certainly the fact, yes, it's very true. Like, you know, 2000, around 2000, I said I'm from Korea. I can't remember what people even thought or said then. Like, probably the first thing was the South North Korea, North South Korea thing, probably. But I guess there was the sort of general sense of not knowing where it was, or sort
Yeah.
of sense more than anything. And while people still might not necessarily know where it is now, they know like who's from there, like what food comes from that there, and just like, you know, they have Korean, like, you know, little face cream and all of, like, you know, in their homes and all of that. So it's I guess it's good for me, as in easy for me, for, you know, to, if there was any, if it happened to, it's easy for people to relate to sort of my native culture a little bit. Well, to an extent, because it's mostly the pop culture here now, in any way.
And the food.
Yes, the food and all the TV K drama, which I don't watch at all.
Well, some of them are really good.
Oh, well, yeah, they must be. I think they are actually, but just kind of not my. I've never really been into that, even when I was in Korea, I have to say. So intense. So emotionally, like, so charged.
Yeah, so fast as well.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
like on the first episode, people could die, like famous, like important person
Oh,
die.
wow.
Like it doesn't happen in the Japan TV dramas where like
Yeah.
it takes about
Wow.
40 episodes for someone.
Oh, right. Okay.
So it's,
They just go for it.
yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
I think interesting, like watching the Korean drama, somewhere subconsciously, it's like an entrance for me to be Korean. Like
Right.
I would guess. Like there's a book, Freedom of Nostalgia, written by a Russian American, a female author.
Yeah.
I can't buy it because it's really expensive. I think it's one of the academic ones
All right, yeah.
but apparently it's a really good book talking about how can you be nostalgic about the country you don't know about
Yeah.
or you've never
Yeah.
been to. And then I just feel exactly that.
Yeah.
So when I see Korean drama, I pretend I'm a part of it.
Yeah.
It's a strange feeling.
Yeah, must be. I mean, yes, so not to undermine that, you know, your experience, but I mean, all in all, that sort of nostalgia is related to miss longing for something that you didn't experience yourself, because it's about time as well, like era. So in that sense, I can definitely relate, because I guess I'm a bit more aware of the origin now, but I'd be like, oh God, like 70s, you know, so good, like 60s and 70s. That's what, like, how will I know? But you have that kind of weird, like, virtual, yeah, longing for it. And yeah, it makes sense though. I mean, everybody has it, and it's very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I start seeing South Korean passport in the same gate when you go out and
Yeah,
come.
yeah.
A lot of countries they
Yeah.
put America,
Yeah, the
Canada,
after Brexit, yes.
some kind of weird racist privilege that we have.
Yes, indeed. It is really horrible, no?
It's a mixture feeling, no?
Very
Because
pretty practical, but it's also
correct.
yes. But it is really odd.
Yeah, when some families have to go that way, and then we are happy
Yeah.
to be invited that way. It's a funny thing. But how do you feel, like, just from my personal experience, when you say Korea, from Korea,
Yeah.
people here would ask you first, from north or from south? Do you get
Yeah,
it?
they don't do that anymore.
Really? I still get it.
I will say, actually, it's
Quite
been a while
often.
since I told anybody I'm from Korea. That's the other thing.
Okay. Interesting. That would be
It's been a while since I had to talk about it somehow. Yes, it used to happen, but then it stopped, I think. I think, but
interesting.
it definitely did happen.
Yeah. I did
But
tell a guy sometimes that I was from North just to see people's reaction.
yeah, I know.
And they get really quiet. It's interesting.
That's
You should
ridiculous.
try
Like
it.
in England.
Yeah, like, oh, I'm from North. And then get like, kind of like, oh, no, I don't.
Weirdest thing, what do they, who do they think live in North, like who do they think they are? Not like, not people. I mean,
No,
yeah
I think probably people think, oh, well, how did she
yeah
come
yeah
up? Can I
yeah
talk
yeah
about it? That's interesting. People do ask me.
yeah they definitely did. Again though, I think it's more that I stopped, or not stopped, but it just hadn't come up. But
What do you say when you people ask you, where are you from? No.
Korea.
Okay.
And then people do say South Korea. Some of them do say. They wouldn't, yeah, that's the thing. They don't necessarily, they don't ask, but they would be like South Korea. Because I guess what's an equivalent of that? But because officially it's South Korea, isn't it? The name of the country is South Korea or Republic of Korea. It's not Korea to other people, like to, you know, non-Korean people.
Yeah.
So in some ways it's like saying, I don't know, does it make sense if I said I'm from Kingdom and somebody be like United Kingdom or something like this? I don't know. It's kind of partly, it's like so wired into their brain. So yeah, it's not equivalent.
Yeah.
Like the name South Korea is, they go, it's one word in a way, it's one thing. So it's automatic for them to question or say or confirm or reiterate that rather than, oh yeah, but for me it's automatic to, still automatic to say Korea.
Yeah, true. Is that because it was one country? Do you have that kind of feeling still?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, I think it's both that in Korea you just say Korea, you don't say we are South Koreans. We say you were South Korea, you say we are Korea. And the other is, yes, I don't care. It's just, it's Korea.
Mm.
It is one country. I mean, yeah, it is. And it just isn't administratively, but yeah.
It's really interesting what happens in Korea. I've been following up a lot of histories and stuff like that, but still, like, I'm very objective because I've never lived there. And I say I'm half Korean, but I'm not really. I've never lived there and stuff like that. Do you think about it that your country is divided?
Like in my free time or no, I mean
Like, often, like,
it's, you know, as much as little as you'd think about anything, that's not really in your everyday life, I guess. I didn't sit down and think about it, but things can come up definitely.
I just always find that the Korean people are quite political. I can talk about things like this with Korean people, but I can't talk about these things with Japanese people.
Politics or North Korea?
Politics.
Right, yeah. If something came up that might have some sort of resonance to me, leading to that, as you know, that aspect of division and all that, I would think about it, but I don't think about it just sitting down. But I do think about the people sometimes. Like, some of these families are just not gonna meet anymore. Time's just passing and they're just dying, you know. So yeah, that kind of thing. And yes, certainly Korean people can, I mean, I didn't know German people, do they talk about, yeah, I guess as well. But yeah, I wouldn't know about Japanese people, how openly they apparently don't talk about politics.
Yeah, it's an interesting culture that you can bring something up and then someone makes a joke about it.
Oh, right.
Pub talk or like, but if you want to say, yeah, but then this is really what I think, it just take you as like such a daft, boring person. Like, come on, this is not a place where we talk about this, and then just laughed at. Yeah, it's an interesting culture. Korean friends, if I talk about something, people have strong opinions. Especially women, no? Like, women are very good at voicing out. Like, that's not what I just wondered that that also comes from you being in the continent. It's like a European countries without Europe as a tag. Part of the continent when Japan's a bit more islandic.
I see. I think I well, maybe, but maybe as in, you know, the geography of a place does contribute to the how the culture of the place as and how it evolves. Maybe. However, though, it wouldn't necessarily directly just explain why the taboo of politics, but it's probably then just something happened that got amplified, or I don't know, because like, how are they here? It's an island here as well, you know, or Ireland,
True.
off a continent, so.
But there is a sense of like a part of Europe kind of thing here, right? Still, even though people do want to be away from EU.
So is it not like, so you're saying it's not like that in Japan?
I don't
All
think.
right. Well, Britain, well, yeah.
I quite often think that Japanese people are very proud of being Japan too much. They still, they're leading. There's a very strong pride, I think, that we are the top of the Asian culture kind of thing. It's really interesting because I'm away from it. I can feel it. So you said you always say you're from Korea. So when I ask, what is your country? Would that be Korean?
I don't know. I mean, I write native South Korean in my sort of official bio. Not always. I'm just wondering because I hate it when people like ask you. Still, like a lot of European institutions, if they host artists, they want the age and the country, the two things I really don't think matter at all to art. Anyway, so when do I say native South Korean? I think sometimes, oh, for context, when there is some work that needs, you know, that could use that kind of context. But yeah, if I want to say if I'm Korean, I do sort of use that word native, as in that I was born there rather than anything. Where's my country? I don't know. Country. That's very, very funny. My country. No, I don't think I have my own country. I'm just here now, which is designated, you know, by some men in suits and flags as United Kingdom. And that's just about it, though, I think.
How about your identity?
Well, so when it's related to art, indeed, I mean that's more interesting, because probably similarly, so identity is like human who feels and needs to eat and I don't know, doesn't like being cold and things like that. Yeah, when it comes to making art, I guess a part of me, I guess a part of me feel sort of entitled to use Korean cultural things, like aspects, elements, whatever, because sometimes because it's like there, and it's a bit easy as well, and it's interesting enough that it can blend into whatever else what I wanted to do and make it a bit more different from what other people might do. And another aspect is that I sometimes do feel compelled to do certain things. Indeed, in my sort of artistic, whatever, like CV, those, program notes, description things, is that's probably where the Koreanness comes up the most in my life, probably, except in my food. So that's actually, for me, very like personally, I see that's interesting, because in some ways having an artistic practice in the UK, what it both warrants and, yeah, okay, warrants and allows, but also, yeah, sometimes makes me abuse my native culture, which if I wasn't an artist in UK, even probably might not happen. There is a very, I've never had this. I've never had a like a artistic practice in other countries, so I don't know. But here, anyway, there is that sense of almost a bit of an obligation that you have to explore your, say, otherness, but it, like, in a positive way, from the rest of, like, your eclectic, surrounding. And present that and like let people know about it. There's almost that sort of, yeah, a bit of, yeah, a bit, a kind of sense of, yes, obligation, I would almost say. Not in a necessarily bad way, but it is more than sort of personal. Sometimes it feels more than it's just personal.
So you feel obliged, or that's what you want to do?
Both and all of it. That's what I mean.
So this Koreanness, quite often you use this Koreanness in your work. What is it? Is it
So, well, I think just a little bit of all of it again, because I did have very, I was just remembering like this piece I've done just in my PhD. That was basically about this invented guy who was a leading artist that made things like Fluxus, that kind of like performance scores and soundscape listening practice and all of that. But not as an artist, but like to educate people and stuff, but all in like in the under the time of Japanese occupation. So as a resistance, he was doing this kind of thing, and this was before I had, well, this was during my PhD time, and I kind yeah. So I realized I have explored that sort of my narrative, my version of Korean narrative. Before I was actually aware, I was doing it on even like with consciousness. So yeah, a little bit of everything, I think, and language, probably a lot, and yeah, I think actually it's gone into an interest of, yeah, exploring the sound of like the language and the linguistic material.
So you said you once worked with project that talked about the Japanese occupation. It's a big part of how, especially all the people, Korean people are
Yeah.
influenced by, and then it's still a big thing. But do you also think that you are influenced by that history in some ways, even subconsciously? Like I remember when I went to Korea for the first time, I was with my four Korean friends, and they're all musicians. Suddenly, when we went into this one area,
I think you told me about this, yeah.
oh, here you don't
Yeah,
talk to
yeah.
these people, really don't like you guys.
Oh,
And
where was it? What? I didn't know there were areas like that. What is that? I
I
have no
only
idea.
remember cafe, but I don't remember. I can
What?
just remember.
What kind of place was it? It's just, I mean, personally, probably not. So when I was, I guess in a way, so of course I had heard those stories. I've been taught those. I've been learned basically those stories, histories. Again, not like undermining anything. And also, like, yeah, for instance, I used to love anime when I was little, and I didn't. So I think that was, well, in some ways, I mean, that was then and now was now, as in not because that wasn't important, but it's not the same people, because it's not like just country is just a mass. It's made of literally millions of people and cultures, and even within a place, cultures and opinions and all of that. So I don't think I ever thought, oh, the Japanese are bad and things like that. I actually remember, I maybe later. I was just going to say, despite, so I might not have been actually like the most normal in that, because I remember people my age saying things that I don't agree with at all. I was like, you are so young. Like, where's your exit? Like, on your bread? Like, where's your the door? And so I don't think I ever really had that, just as probably maybe I was just an open-minded person. And then I also had Japanese friends in Germany, kind of natural draw, especially when you're like still, unfamiliar in a foreign country. It's very, like, very natural. Japanese and Korean people hang out a lot together. I don't know if they would admit to that in their respective countries, to be honest. Maybe they wouldn't. I don't know. So not really. I guess that's the answer. Yet again, though, I guess what I'm more interested here now by for instance that piece I was just saying, this guy within, the resistance force, it was more about telling the history. I would say from like more subjective point, like objective point of view, but perhaps also not. But the thing is, I think there's a bit more and more information on it now, but a lot of people in the West still don't really know about what happened with Japan and the rest of the continent, actually. So it was more about awareness of that rather than, this, like, oh, this kind of whatever relationship with the villain. Like, that wasn't like, it wasn't about that. It was just kind of an informative service from my side, I guess. But yes, I have seen, I guess, people my age who'd be like just weird about, and I just don't understand. Like, do you know any Japanese people? Or if you do, I don't know anyway. But I guess I might not be the most normal or most regular, most average person in that.
How about your grandmas or granddads or?
Yeah, well, no, they were never those kind of people who'd be like, children pick up from very mundane things like, oh, that asshole, like,
Yeah,
oh,
exactly.
those,
Yeah.
that never happened in my household, in
That's
my
not,
house.
yeah.
Yeah, they were never like that. And I, yes, of course, they gone through it a bit, I think. Yes, they had. And they would tell things, stories from that time sometimes. But they were never like the kind of people who just go on and on about the same thing, or
Yeah.
just talk badly about the time. They would also say things, things that happened which were done by the Korean army and government, which there's plenty of as well. Like, seriously, plenty.
These things, I still find the Korean history so interesting. It's such a chaotic country
It's
that
crazy. Yeah, it's quite crazy.
the number of immigration to America and Japan, when you think about it, I think people are more aware of like Vietnam because the Vietnamese War was accessible to Western countries because they're a really big part of it. But then again, they were a big part of this Korean War as well. But When it comes to Korea, I think a lot of things are so unknown.
I mean, technically, the Korean War was between the Korean two Koreas, so I reckon that's that. But in Vietnam, the US was it was those two countries, so there was a big, obviously, the opposing force within the US, which
Oh.
triggered the interest.
But then how the Korea was divided was definitely the Russia and America involved in it.
Oh yeah, definitely. But do you know why Korea was divided? Yeah.
Because of the dictatorship
No,
versus.
before that, before, because B Korea was divided before the Korean War. That's why North could invade South, because if they had been the same country, they couldn't invade each other. It'd be a civil war. So Korea was divided before the war, because Germany was divided because they lost the Second World War. So, but then Japan had to be divided. But I think because it was an island or something like this, that didn't happen. And Korea was still under Japanese occupation. And that's why Korea got divided. There was like nothing that had anything to do with actual the Korea's country to what to, about what happened to it in terms of division. It's actually really because of that bad, it's very unfortunate timing to be under Japanese occupation. And that's why, well, Japan is just Japan, and that, yeah, that's why Korea is divided. And then some years later, I guess, this one very ambitious guy was like, let's make them also communists or something like this.
Crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, for instance, like that's not really known either much. And people have this sort of, oh, that Kim Jong-un. I'm like, well, like, yes, he may be crazy, but I never understand why the obsession, like US's obsession with North Korea. Like, there is no fuel, there is no resources. There's like, why are you obsessing over this tiny, nothing doing country? And some people say it must be because of the nuke, but well, is it enough? Like, is it worth? I don't really understand.
Well, there's Russia
It's
behind, right?
so vilifying. Well, it must be. That's what I might mean. Like, there must be a reason, and that must be China and Russia. It's
China.
like no other reason. It's ridiculous. And then again, this Western, like the obsession of the West to take over China and Russia. It's just like it just give so. It's just a tantrum. It's ridiculous. It's just ego, it's just ego and just like pissing contest and market, of course. It's a massive, massive market if China opened to the to proper like US market. So that's really it. Because otherwise it's like what? It's just most of the other countries are just pawns in these in the game. And like who's and then did you live a happy life?
I really do wish that I would see North Koreans survived off that dictatorship before I die. Like
God, yeah, it's really coming to that, isn't it? Slowly.
I'm just really feeling sad that I might not.
Yeah, I mean, I think in my teenage years, I thought about now. I've never really thought about this actually. Yeah, I definitely thought by now, by the time I'm like 30, even there will be just one Korea.
It's not that easy, is it? That stupid bastard.
Yeah. The weirder thing is that nobody actually knows what's going on there. It's really weird. The other thing is if they're, I don't know, I get, I don't know, because poverty is one of the, definite reasons for something like a dictatorship to collapse. But it's not collapsing. So does it mean they are actually surviving all of this without, like, with, I mean, I guess people lived on very little in the past.
Yeah, I mean,
So,
it's a portion of people in Pyongyang that's just like living, and then everywhere else is just they don't
dead?
have resources, right?
I don't know. That's kind of our general understanding about the country, isn't it?
Okay, so a few more questions. Do you think there's a relation between your upbringings and your sound experimentalism?
So, proper childhood, like upbringing.
Yeah.
I didn't think so, beyond that I was always a bit free-spirited and open-minded and wanted to not necessarily wanted to do what people wanted or said was good. Most of them did. But in details or in aesthetics, I think yes, actually yes, aesthetically, I think it has nothing to do with the upbringing. I don't think so. That's probably, I don't know what it ha will have, what would have affected it, I have to say. No, I don't know. Maybe just about, actually, maybe the very, very kind of infancy, maybe, because I was in a very loving, peaceful household. I grew up, you know, with my parents living with my grandparents, my mom's parents. And also, actually, I still had great grandfather around. Not that he had much to do with me, but yeah, I think it was just a peaceful environment, and I think that reflects, perhaps, but not in the ex like not in the way, not in the sort of experimental spirit, but in the aesthetics. Because I've been told a few things about like how my pieces are, in a certain way, and I think they're generally sort of, yeah, I think they're generally peaceful and sort of, I don't know, maybe not, and sort of sensitive, and a bit delicate, and I think they might have to do with, yeah, how I was living when I was very little, but just inside the house, I don't know, but it's not a definite observation. It's just something that just came to me now.
That's nice.
It might, but the urge to experiment itself is probably just me, sort of more genetic and natural nature rather than nurture, probably. Because I don't think you can, yeah, well, any formal education you can say is encouraging of any creativity, real creativity or experimentalism anyway. But you certainly couldn't say that about, you know, the kind of education, the kind of conventional education in Korea from when I was growing up anyway. So,
Well said.
well, just, you know, just kind of very, you know, you have to do this and that and that sort of education, you know, fulfill this role. But that's everywhere, really, actually. You have to be this person and that person. And yeah.
What's your balance between sort of visual and sound strength? How do you use them?
I guess the visual aspect comes from my performative aspect, as in like stage performance. It is funny because I never really set out to do a have any visual element, but it just usually came kind of naturally with the piece. So I'd have pieces that have nothing, like no visual, nothing, not even like image, it's just the sound. But then also have pieces that where you think, where's the sound? Almost. So I think it just that just depend it just differs from piece to piece and what I want to do with that particular, in, you know, say with that particular piece. You need proper resources for more resources for visual things as well. So it probably depends on that too, whether I have the resources at the time. Scale it down to very simple something. I mean, my visuals most often involve myself, I guess. So yeah, I think that comes does come from, and also a lot of my pieces have like narratives and spoken voice, so it is very natural to tie a voice to a person. So I think that in that sense they are sort of intertwined.